BBC Sounds. Music, radio, podcasts.
Отлично.
Здравствуйте.
Здравствуйте. Как дела?
Meet Maxim. For the past 2 years, the 25-year-old has been in Bucha, just outside of Kyiv. Once we're finally connected, we speak in Russian, because, he says, he couldn't convey in English the pain and horror of what happened to the small town where he lived.
There were bodies in the streets, and it is difficult to understand what's happening. It feels like we're in the universe of a Marvel movie.
On the first day of the Russian invasion, his apartment block was shelled.
It's so hard because I had to leave my home. My things were left there. My whole soul was left in that house.
Now homeless and sleeping in an air raid shelter, he decided to flee to the west of Ukraine.
When it was shelling, we ran out into the road to flag down a car. A girl who works at McDonald's picked us up, and we miraculously managed to get away.
In normal times, Maxim is a blogger and a kids' TV presenter, with more than 4 million followers on TikTok. He even appeared on Ukraine's Got Talent. But now his social media feeds look very different. His upbeat posts have been replaced by the horrors of war. In one, he shows his apartment block, shelled and ruined. The reaction to that video, however, wasn't quite what he expected. He began receiving a stream of comments in Russian accusing him of lying. And even the most shocking evidence didn't seem to convince those who were posting.
I showed pictures of my house which had been shelled. I showed dead bodies lying around so people would believe me. But it is impossible to get through to them.
I'm Mariana Spring and I'm the BBC's specialist disinformation reporter. Since the start of the war, my inbox and social media accounts have been flooded with messages. That's because I've been hearing about a different battle from the military campaign, but one that's also having real consequences for the people caught up in it. There's an old saying that the first casualty, when war comes, is truth. And as the war in Ukraine deepens, it's clear that Russia's armed assault is accompanied by an onslaught of disinformation, waged by trolls, state media, and influencers, both online and beyond. The stories of those affected, like Maxim, are the subject of this series. We'll be hearing about the extraordinary information battle being waged over Ukraine and the ordinary people being sucked into it. I'm Mariana Spring, and for Radio 4, this is War on Truth. Maxim was born in Ukraine and his first language is Russian. That means that a lot of his followers online are from Russia. And so when his home was shelled,
some Russians were shocked and supported me because they feel sorry for what is happening, and they also have relatives in Ukraine, but such people are few and far between.
Supportive comments were in the minority.
Of course, Russian people, subscribers and bots watched it and wrote that it was all untrue.
And as the comments started coming in, Maxim began to wonder, was there something more insidious going on?
I think a lot of them were bots, because when I found their accounts, they weren't active. They didn't have any photos or anything. When I messaged, they didn't even answer.
Bots are fake accounts, often used to artificially push ideas or lend support to particular worldviews online. They can be operated by individuals or by state actors. So why do bots matter? And how do you spot them?
My name is Olga Robinson, and I'm a disinformation specialist at BBC Monitoring.
It might seem a little strange to be talking about online attacks when people are being killed in wartime, but online disinformation campaigns are a critical part of modern warfare, and the Russian state has proved particularly adept at employing them.
Influence operations and information operations, I think when it comes to Russia, go usually hand in hand with boots on the ground. So for the Russian state, the information that is being put out for domestic audiences and for international audiences as well, it's very important because it provides justification for their actions and also helps rally support around President Putin back at home.
So it's impossible to untangle the two?
They're interlinked, yes. And it's information operations have been extremely important for the Russian state for decades, ever since Vladimir Putin became president.
Fake accounts are a part of that weaponry. They can shut down debate and harass dissenting voices. they can give the illusion of a mass of public opinion shifting one way or another.
They can not just distort reality, distort facts, confuse people, sow discord, but they can also undermine the very essence of truth.
And crucially, they can also be difficult to spot.
Well, there's no easy way of telling whether an account that you're looking at is a real passionate individual that's just very active online and whether they are a troll or an authentic account. And it generally takes researchers sometimes weeks and months to uncover networks and signs of inauthentic activity. And even then, it can be tricky to say who exactly is behind the operation or what purpose it is pursuing.
But Olga has some tips.
Of course, there are some telltale signs that you can use. Like, for example, it could be an account that's just been set up or, I don't know, posts pictures of cats and all of a sudden starts talking about politics completely obsessively. We're also seeing kind of more sophisticated networks. For example, they outsource disinformation to native speakers in a range of countries to avoid silly mistakes, or they create sophisticated personas rather than rely on newly set up accounts.
And Olga says that Maxim, who has many followers online, could have been targeted because of the size of his profile.
Well, I think the more influential the account is, the more likely they will be targeted, because this is how you can make your messaging more visible. But if you attack a person who has one follower or 20 followers, you'll have a certain amount of impact. But it's a completely different story when you target a person who has millions.
It's clear from speaking to Olga that in the short term, it's very difficult to prove definitively whether someone is a bot. But we can use clues to decide whether or not to trust an account. And that's exactly what someone else who's been in touch with me began to do. 20-year-old Marta, a student from Kyiv. She's currently stuck in the UK where she's visiting university friends. I spoke to her on Friday, the 11th of March. Overnight, Russia had expanded its offensive in Ukraine.
It's really stressful because you don't know what to expect. Today I woke up and they bombed west of Ukraine, where my family live. So it's really difficult to cope with that.
Over the past couple of weeks, her posts online had begun to draw more attention.
Yes, I decided to post a video about what was about to happen in Ukraine the day before the main invasion. People just collected together in Central Square and were shouting, like, go home to Russian soldiers. But I only had, like, 400 followers on my TikTok, so I didn't think a lot about it. I just wanted some people from the UK or other countries to see what's happening. But it turned completely different than I expected. It got reached by so many people.
Her followers grew significantly. She now has over 250,000. But it was when she shared a video of a peaceful demonstration against Russian soldiers in the Ukrainian town of Verdansk that she became a target online.
There were so many comments of support of Russia or hate to Ukraine.
They said that she was lying, that Ukraine was bombing itself, and they wished death on people in her country.
What did it feel like reading those comments? How did they make you feel?
It was really difficult to see that much of, like, hate towards oppressed country, towards the fact that people are dying.
And, just like Maxim, she was unsure how many of the people posting were real, or bots, in authentic accounts.
Most of these people who were commenting these comments were, like, private accounts or, like, completely empty accounts with no followers, no followings.
So Marta decided to investigate. She began digging through the online profiles of the people messaging her.
There was a girl who had, like, a Polish name, but she was living in Norway because she had all her pictures with location Norway or some cities in Norway. But she also said she was half Ukrainian and half Polish.
And what had she commented on your video?
She sent me a DM. She said that karma will reach me. I asked, like, for what? And she said, because you post fake.
But when Marta got in contact,
I started to text her in Ukrainian. She was not responding because she's not Ukrainian.
I too looked into some of the profiles that Marta showed me.
I was surprised at, like you say, how many of them don't have any followers or have only one or two. They don't have a picture at all, or they're using a generic name. There was one that was using the name Jess, and all of the videos were ones saying, it's crisis actors, the war is staged, it's not what you think. And that's all that account has posted. It's so hard to get to the bottom of it. You know, is it a real person or is it actually part of something bigger?
Yes, it's really difficult to investigate through them because mostly they're like private accounts.
A few days ago, TikTok restricted access for users in Russia. Marta noticed the comments from troll accounts ease up. Whoever is behind them, it seems as though many do originate from Russia. And despite the abuse, Marta has continued posting online. She wants to show the world what's happening to her family and friends currently in Ukraine.
It's important to understand what the situation really is, just to stop this terrorism. So I think it's really important for people, especially from other countries, to know the truth. And especially for Russians, but it's just impossible to get to them. Because when you say something, they will say that you're brainwashed by Western media, even though you don't even have a TV. Even though you are Ukrainian, you live in Ukraine, you have friends and family from those cities. But they still would not believe you. They will say that everything is staged, everything is planned. So that's how.
I've tried to contact some of the accounts who've posted extreme comments on Marta and Maxim's profiles, but none have responded. I also got in touch with TikTok about the profiles I investigated. A spokesperson told me the app has increased resources to respond to emerging trends and remove violative content, including harmful misinformation and promotion of violence. TikTok and Telegram, in particular, have come under pressure to do more to tackle false claims around the war in Ukraine. But it is worth pointing out that other social media sites do seem to be doing a little better at spotting influence operations, with Facebook taking down a small network just a few days into the invasion. And after all, the social media sites hold the key as to who is really behind these accounts, a key we often don't have. So while Maxim and Marta can't be sure whether it was bots that were messaging them, it's safe to say they have their suspicions. As the days have passed since Maxim's home was shelled, the online abuse he's received has become increasingly extreme.
It's come to the point Russians wish me dead, saying that I must die because I'm lying. I'm making up that we have a war and saying that it's all untrue and it's very offensive because there's just no aggression aimed at Russian people in Ukraine, only aggression and anger aimed at the Russian government.
Maxim believes the reaction he's received reflects a concerted effort by the Russian government to warp its citizens' view of events. And he now thinks it's essential that every blogger and influencer in Ukraine keep posting to try and open people's eyes to what's happening.
I understand that their goal is to sow as many lies as possible so that the Russian people think that their government is saving us. We do not need saving. We lived peacefully, worked and slept, and then they invaded our country and made everyone nervous, depressed, apathetic and afraid.
But continuing to post comes at a price, because having the terrifying reality that you're personally experiencing just denied again and again takes its toll.
I
always wake up now feeling angry and negative. I get depressed because when you sincerely tell people what is happening outside your window, what is happening to children who are dying, and they do not believe you, it's very painful. There's no sympathy or love.
I'm Mariana Spring, and that was the second episode of War on Truth. Please do get in touch with us if you have stories you want to share or things you'd like us to investigate. You can contact me by email at mariana.spring@bbc.co.uk. In our next episodes, we'll be looking at influencer culture in war, people accused of being crisis actors, and other stories as events progress.